This is the Fitness Bootcamp Inner Circle Podcast with Georgette Pan and Jesse Stoddard. It's Jesse here again. I'm really excited today. We've got a guest on the line. Today with us on the show is Art McDermott from the Boomer Blueprint. And Art is a very special guest for us because he's not just another fitness pro. This is somebody that's been a strength coach, personal trainer, track and field coach, and member of the United States National Track and Field Team. And more importantly, he's mastered fitness over the age of 50. So he's created something called the Boomer Blueprint, and he's helping aging adults with fitness and that 50 and over crowd, which is a growing demographic. So I just want to welcome you, Art, to our show, and I'm excited to have you.
Well, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. Thanks, Georgette.
Awesome. And Georgette, how do you know Art, by the way?
I've known Art. I think we've known each other for a long time, right? We just reconnected.
I think I originally reconnected at probably one of the fitness consulting groups, conferences, something along those lines. I think it was through a Pat Rigsby connection, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and online. I've known your name, and then we just recently reached out to each other. So, and we're both boomers.
Yeah, that's the important part.
Georgette, I thought you were just 29 this year.
Actually 30, yeah.
Well, happy birthday. So, Art, if you don't mind, if you could give us a little background and explain to our listeners, a little bit more about you and how you got to where you're at and what's your, how you got started in fitness and, what's your journey been?
Sure. Well, it certainly has been an interesting one. My background is in track and field, as you mentioned, and that's what I went to Boston University on an athletic scholarship there, throwing the shot put and the discus specifically. And I did make a couple of U.S. national teams. I was an All-American there 4 times. And the good part about track, I say that to pump on my background, but track and field, especially the throwing events, is largely, your practice is strength training. Besides obviously out there throwing the little orbs and platters around the field, you're doing strength training. And so you become very, very proficient at that trait. And the good part about that was I get the opportunity because of my success there and my coach to work with some of the best people in the industry. And because I had a reasonable reputation, you really get access to these high-end coaching. And once my career was over, I was not competitive. I went on to do some strength sports. I did Highland Games, the stuff with the kilt and the slipping the caber over. Some really fun stuff. It's kind of where throwers go to retire. But what I did was I took the knowledge that I had gained working with these outstanding other coaches, and I went into the fitness industry, opened my own facility, and that was, years and years ago now. I've owned a couple of different facilities. And then as time went on, I eventually turned 50. And it was really that it's kind of a, I guess you'd call it a ground-shaking event in the summer after I turned 50 that sent me on the path that I am now. Myself and my family were very fortunate to have a home up on the lake in New Hampshire. It's a Lake Winnesquam, which is kind of a lesser-known lake, but it's still the third biggest lake in New Hampshire. And we were out on the boat one day, and it was one of those mornings where it's just jumping in the water, playing around, having a good time, and it was time to wrap things up and head home. And my son knocked one of those very inexpensive, cheap little floaty things, devices into the water and starts floating away. I said, "Hey, buddy, can you go grab that? It's time to go home." And he's all dried off. He doesn't want to. He's young. He's kind of argumentative, shall we say. So we're arguing back and forth, and meanwhile, the thing is floating away. And I was getting frustrated and annoyed, and I just hop in to go get it. And the way I describe it was kind of like one of those, those Hitchcock movies where as you move towards something, it keeps floating further away. It's kind of an illusion. It's going with the currents, going with the wind. And I'm realizing about halfway there, I'm like, I'm starting to get a little tired here. There's not much to be that concerned about, but I kept going. I finally get to this thing. It's floating down into this cove by now, and it's much, much further than I had planned on. And I get to it, and I'm like, you know, I am really tired. A little alarming kind of tired, you know, just course about swimming versus running. Running, I can just stop and catch my breath. Swimming, you got to keep going. there's no choice. So I said, well, I'm not really excited about the swim back to the boat. It's kind of far away now. The shore is much closer, so I'm gonna head towards the shore. And I struggle, you know, I'm starting to struggle over there. And the situation slowly went from a little tired to kind of, you know, alarmingly fatigued to a dangerous situation just like that. And I'm looking around, and my kids are in the boat. My wife is on shore, you know, picking blueberries. She's out of range right now. And my mom is on the boat. Even my dogs are on the boat, you know, looking over the railing. And my kids, God bless them, started to realize, as my mother did, that I'm struggling a little bit. And they saw that they were having an issue, and they started to swim over. I don't know what they were going to do when they got there. They're young, and I outweighed them both. But I appreciated the intent. So anyway, I'm going towards the shore, and I said, now this floaty thing is just a hindrance now. This is not helping at all. It wasn't a handy design by any means. So I just started that, and I said, I got to get to shore right now. And the thought that went through my head was, I could drown in front of my entire family right now. And this is not good. This is not good at all. So my wife, who fortunately was on shore, heard the commotion, and she came out and she said, are you okay? And I just barely could gasp out. I was like, no, I'm not. So she came into the water. Now I was probably still, you know, 30 feet from shore, desperately trying to reach the bottom, trying to, I want to feel the lake bottom, and I couldn't. You know, so I said, there's nothing, I got to keep going. And she was able to get out and help me to shore. And when I finally got my feet on the ground, my fingernails, nail beds had started to turn blue. My lips had started to turn blue. That's how oxygen deprived I was. And it took me 15 minutes to compose myself. I had that, you know, just trying to get air in feeling. It was horrible. It was really something. And yeah, once I get back to the house and settle down, I really wasn't talking to anybody. And I'm just kind of going over the situation in my head. And a couple of things occurred to me. It's like, number one, I was embarrassed. I mean, I got myself in a situation that I never should have been in. Regular swimmers will, you know, think nothing of it. But if you're not swimming all the time, now I grew up swimming. They don't think anything of it. But I was like, wow, I really got myself in a stupid situation. I was made a poor decision. And number two was, how did I suddenly go from the person I just described to you, you know, being all American, I could do all sports. I did football, baseball, hockey, track. I finally found my niche. And when did that guy go away? When I just used to being able to do whatever I wanted, do it well, and then suddenly that was gone. And it was really a kind of a shocking revelation, if you will, to me. And I realized that I have the resources, you know, the fitness education to design a program, to change my nutrition. You know, I trimmed out, I leaned out, I started swimming more, I started doing more cardio stuff. I enjoyed lifting. And I could change that. But I said, how many people out there, every day, something like that happens to people over 50, and the outcome is worse. They don't make it, you know, and they have no place to start. They're not sure. Oh, am I supposed to be lifting? How much running am I supposed to do? And they don't know how to design a program to claim their life again. They may have been sedentary for 20 years. And I said, I have the resource to be able to help these people, and that's when I shifted my focus entirely to the population over 50. As well as the trainers who train that population. I help them as well. So it was really, it was that dramatic a shift in mindset when I went from invincible to, you know, some different guy.
Wow.
That's amazing. And not the kind of wake-up call that you normally want to have, right?
No, it was
in the form of a life-threatening situation.
Right. I mean, it was really alarming for me. It was a blow to my ego. It was a blow to you know everything. My image of myself, because you know most boomers, we have an image of ourselves about 10-15 years younger than we really are. And this was really a slap in the side of the head, saying, "Guess what, pal? You're not that guy anymore."
Wow. I can kind of relate to that. I don't want to admit it.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. I told that story for the first time on stage recently, and you'd be amazed at how many people come up to me and say, you know, I went through something similar, or my parents went through something similar, or my friend went through something similar. People really can resonate with that story. You know, that we're not 20-something, 30-something anymore. That you know, it comes to the reality, comes to knocking on the door.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear. I actually liked hearing it because it did. Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah. And unfortunately, most folks like you and I, over 50, can understand. The changes that a 20 or 30 something, they're still invincible. They still can sit on the couch all day and look good. we can't, you know, it's a struggle. It's a battle. And what I wanted to do was create a kind of a game plan for people to get back in the battle and feel good about themselves and move better. So I created a boomer specific program for my clients and really change things around to help the population. Because really, it's not about, you know, as a fitness professional and anyone listening there, they're running boot camps, things like that.
Right.
Running a boomer boot camp is not just a matter of, you know, let's put out a Reebok step so they can do the burpees to that instead. And just modifying your boot camp is not suddenly a boomer-specific program. It really needs to be a lot more thorough than that, and finding out what's wrong and getting to know these clients and the population, as you know, they want that. I want a program for me. I don't want some modified, watered-down program that you really are serving to your 20 and 30-somethings. I have specific needs. I want to be active and vital and have a quality of life well into my 70s, which is a considerably different mental approach than one generation ago, than like our parents. A generation ago, simply, well, you had retired and you slowed down and things like that. But, you know, our generation, our 50s, the current 50-somethings don't have that mentality. You know what I mean? They we want to get going. We want to do more, see more, and be more active and have a higher quality of life than they did. That's why we're all talking about the boomers.
Right. It is becoming a big hot topic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the numbers are staggering. How many of us there are. It's really astounding. And when you look at it, I mean, 77 million, 10,000 of us turning 50 every day. It's absurd, you know, and if you're not targeting that market in your business, in your programming at your facility, then you're kind of missing the boat.
Now, what age do you consider for some listeners that may not know?
Say that again?
Actually, age wise, what does that take, 50 to what?
The boomers are currently, here's my take on it is this. And boomers are technically people who are today about roughly 48, 49 years old and older, up through, you know, the kind of the leading edge boomers, they call it, but not so much seniors, up to, let's call it as late as 69, but more like 65, that decade plus of individuals. In my opinion, when you start to get over 70, you should participate in some type of specialized training for seniors. Because, for example, Georgia, me and you, we certainly can't be lumped in the same category as a 72-year-old. We're in the fitness industry. We're stronger. We're faster. So there's a huge difference within the boomer population as you move along. So I believe it requires more specialized certifications and training once you get past 69, 70 into that age group. Like my mother is 75, 77 now, actually. I use her as an example. And she's very fit, very active, but I'm not going to have the same program as she does. So that's what I mean. And you really need to divide the older clients into specialized groups, because there are people that we all know, 50 plus, who can run marathons, do Spartan races, and they're just, you know, they're the upper one half of 1% of the population. Bulk of that 50 to 64, 65 group is not very active, and that's the people who need the most help.
Yeah, and even with this, like you just said, even with being active, there are changes that take place.
Right.
One day. It's not. It seems like one day you wake up and you're like, "Oh my God," but it's not really. I mean, it's, you know, even from bodybuilding to 50 plus is when I noticed things have, you know, changing osteoporosis,
right.
Blah 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 blah. And then I was suddenly like, okay, now what do I do? Because I'm used to training like beast mode.
Right.
I can't
right.
do beast mode.
Mm-hmm.
You're not without hurt.
Right, so, I think that's a great way to put it. You lose the beast mode gene, you know, but you have to replace it somehow. And when I do some speaking engagements, and I do a lot of speaking to boomers themselves, and saying, listen, just when we reach the age where we need the most strength training, where we need to be physically active, we for some reason decide to shut it down, and then we're inviting that downward spiral, you know, because we need muscle mass. Muscle mass is directly equated with your level of independence later in life. If you keep your muscle mass, keep strength training, you don't drift into that frailty mode that so many people accept as a normal part of living. And that's what, I mean, I'll fight that one. I'll go down swinging on that one. You know, I'll be that guy at strength training, and I was doing my deadlifting yesterday, you know, relatively heavy. You got to keep up the muscle mass because it's really after 50, that's when I hit a wall as well. I mean, everything changed when I hit 50. You know, hormonally you're changing, everything changing. Suddenly I couldn't squat whatever I wanted. I couldn't deadlift whatever I wanted. And you know, I saw a distinct shift in my nervous system, in my muscle mass retention. Everything changed. It's like that's when the battle should start, not when you get sedentary and wrap it up. It's just the opposite mentality we need to try to instill in people.
Yeah, it kind of came on to me like that, the same, you know, fashion. And actually bodybuilding was attributed to some of those problems, but you know, it's going to happen anyway. You're going to hit menopause as a woman. You're going to you know, see declines and more injuries. I mean, I'd like to meet somebody over 50 that never had a knee or a shoulder problem. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. And the recovery, I found, is the key. I mean, a lot of us over 50 are capable of lifting more weight than we think we are. That's one of my mantras, you know, that you are much more capable to do things and do more challenging things than you think you are. The major difference between somebody like us and somebody maybe 10, 15 years younger is the recovery in between, whether it's between sets or between workouts themselves. It's the recovery capabilities that really take the hit.
Yeah.
Art, you mentioned earlier a little bit about, and I'm sorry, I actually dropped off the line, technical problem, so I dropped off for about 20 seconds. But when I came back, you were talking about the actually having to customize and individualize for this clientele as opposed to just having a watered down boot camp. I was wondering if you could maybe mention a couple of key tips or ideas that, you know, that somebody running a fitness program like a boot camp would need to know about these baby boomers and this particular clientele in order to be effective.
Right. Absolutely. If you're a fitness trainer and you're looking to grow your business, specifically with older clients, which I believe everybody should, you can do it one of two ways. There's two kind of levels, if you will. Some people, like the guys, Dan and Cody at the Fitness Functional Aging Institute, their entire business is branded solely for older clients, and they have a very thorough assessment program. And so you know what they're about. And I called, they planted their flag in the ground and said, this is what we do. This is only what we do. So if you want X results and you're over 50, we are the people to come to. And it's worked out fantastically for them in a monetary sense and obviously the quality of service. If that's not what you're about, I mean, you have a facility that's already branded, you kind of, you know, you tailor to everybody. Within your program offerings, you must put something together that is specific for boomers. And what do I mean by that? So one of my pet peeves is just taking your boot camp and watering it down a little bit and calling it a boomer program. Or maybe you're running your regular boot camp, but if you know you have a client over 50, you're just putting little modifications in for them. You know, and sometimes you can get away with that. But what boomers are looking for, and if you really want to pull a lot of them in, you have a program dedicated to them. For example, I created when I had my facility, which I sold a little over a year ago, I had built up a sizable boomer population by creating something I call the Boomer Decathlon. So it's a series of 10 assessment tests, and they're all science-based. I only had to devise one of them myself. They're all from the literature. They all have norms to go by and scientific validity. So, and then I created one for grip and grabbing strength, which I thought was obviously invaluable for the solar population. And what I did was assign points to it and made it more of a competitive little thing. And what it did was it showed boomers exactly where they stood compared to their peers. You know, and some of them was like a pretty significant wake-up call, kind of on the scale of my near-drowning incident, but much, much smaller. You know, it's like, whoa, you're telling me the average 55-year-old does X number of push-ups or can has this range of motion, and I'm way down here? That's something we need to fix right now. And then they would sign up for my program, of course. I literally had 100% conversion rate if I got someone in to take this to Decathlon, and I could show them in black and white where they stood. They were like, okay, wow, I need to get on this now. Let's get started. And that's so. And then I had a boomer-specific time slots. I mean, this not the 20-somethings weren't allowed in there. This was just for people over 50, and it was only. And I taught it myself. You need to have the point being, you need to have a specific program for boomers and some assessment for them so they can see, oh, this person gets it. They get that I want something tailored to me. They understand that I have this shoulder pain, right, this knee pain. As, like you said, Georgette, none of us get to this age without having our nicks and dings. I mean, I've had 3 rotator cuff surgeries, a knee surgery, wrist surgery. So it's, you know, and that's, you probably beat up my shoulders a little more than normal, but just because of my sports background. But the average boomer is going to come to you with these kind of needs. And like I said, maybe they're a perimenopausal female who has, you know, found themselves one day they wake up and they're 20, 25, 30 pounds overweight, and this is not who they want to be. But don't try to shove me in a CrossFit-style boot camp. You know, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something tailored to me. And if you can show them that you get that, then you're going to grow your business significantly with the right population. And this population has the funds, they have the resources, and they have the mindset to take care of themselves for the long haul. So you get yourself a long-term client.
That is great stuff.
It's just vital to have in place. You know, if you're going to market to that population, you need to address them and address their needs. It sounds a little self-centered. You know, it's like, listen, our demographic, it's like, this is a little bit about me here. You know, this is not about, because if you look at some of their situations, if you will, some of them, their life's changed situations. Maybe they've got kids in college and they could be caring for an older parent. They're in this, what's called a sandwich generation. They have a lot going on and a lot of demands upon them financially and physically and time-wise, and they insist that you tailor something for them. You know, it's like they know they need to take care of themselves, and this is their time. You know, this is their time to get into the gym. If this is all about me, I got to stay healthy. There's people depending upon me, and there's some real motivation to keep that way.
You know, I can completely see what you're talking about, Art. I have my own program currently. I would say we attract kind of a total family demographic into our boot camp, but I would still say it's 60, maybe 70% baby boomers. And sometimes they want to work out with their family members and they'll bring their kids, but they're at completely different levels. And it's almost scary to me, you know, having to customize and go back and forth between the two. And now I see the weakness there in that, you know, not having it really specific. I mean, you're calling me out. I'm not saying that I watered it down, but right. I'm thinking, yeah, we definitely need some more specific things. And you know, another thing that came to mind is, you know, I can see how you turned 50 and it changed your entire view. What would you say to somebody who's not 50 yet, who's trying to run a program? I mean, I guess I'm seeking for personal advice just for me. You know, like, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, is there a perception issue? You know, if I'm not 50 and I'm trying to teach somebody who's 50, is that a problem? Can I overcome that? Are there things that I can do to show them that I do care and I do want to make a difference? Any suggestions in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a great question, because part of the problem is a communications issue. If you look at it, you know, the things that are acceptable behavior-wise, business-wise, to somebody who's 29, maybe 35, whatever it is, the average trainer, let's call him, let's call Joe the trainer here, he's about, you know, he's 30, 32 years old, he's fit, he's rah-rah, and he may not, without even realizing it, he may be putting off this demographic just in his general conduct. For example, I don't make a big deal about it, but I notice if somebody's late, even by 5 minutes, it's disrespectful to me. If they're wearing a hat, if they're not looking sharp, if they're not representing themselves well, if they ever pull out a phone during our workout and text somebody. I mean, these are little things, but these are the way we were brought up. Our generation was brought up with manners. We were brought up to respect authority. And if I'm spending, you know, money on you as a trainer, whether it's a membership or a one-on-one personal training, I expect your undivided attention on me. And a lot of people are much very, very casual about what they do and how they conduct themselves in the workplace. And that's kind of the start. But if you're looking, if you take a step back and looking, how are you presenting yourself from the get-go? Like the first time someone probably finds you in your business, right, they're probably looking at your website. And if I'm 55, I'm 53 right now. I'm going to be 54 this year. If I go to your website and I see the picture of a male and a female, and maybe it's a torso shot, and all I see is ripped abs. I'm like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want ripped abs. That's not why I'm here, you know. And so, right, so there's a little bit of a disconnect right away. So your marketing needs to be tailored towards my needs. What are my needs? I just want to feel better, you know. I want to move a little bit better. I want to keep my mobility, which is being challenged. I want to keep my muscle mass, which is being challenged. I'm not worried about ripped abs, big arms, that kind of thing. It's just not where I'm at. And you will find, like I said, that upper half of 1% of the population who will be looking for that over 50, but it's rare. I mean, are you really going to market your business to them? Of course not. You're going to market to the general baby boomer, which, you know, they just want to feel better. They want to, you know, keep their blood pressure in line. They want to keep their hip mobility and, you know, they want to heal up that shoulder that's been bugging them for about 5 years. You know, it's things like that. So you want to make sure your verbiage and your imagery that you use in your facility is more inclusive of that. A lot of people just don't. They everyone wants to have that image of training a physique model, which is just not reality. So that's the start. And then a lot of it is some of it's conversational to make sure that they understand that you do get them. Like I said, like you're saying, that is important. How do you do that? It's a lot of it is verbiage. You know, it's the tone you use, even the stories you tell, and they want to know. If you're a trainer, all right, to answer your question on a conversation, you're having a conversation in your facility with somebody like me, you want to make sure you know their situation. Like, you know, you should know by the end of the first session or two, you should know what I do for a living. Do I have, you know, older parents living at home that I'm caretaker for? How many kids do I have? Are they in college? So am I feeling that kind of pressure? You know, what do I do? You know, like I said, if I'm, you know what I'm doing for a living. So what kind of time constraint does that put on me? You know, show that you care that what they're doing for a living, you know, what their situation is. And that kind of a different conversation rather than maybe talking about the Red Sox game, which is fine. But you need to be aware of what's going on in my life. And rather than, you know, if you're 20 or 30-something, you don't have those kind of depths of conversation. You may be a little more superficial, which is fine because that's all they're looking for. They just want to go there, rah-rah, get their abs ripped, you know. So it's just a different mentality entirely that you need to be aware of.
Do you find that on the business side, now that you mentioned that, you know, hinted at that a little bit, on the business side, I mean, everybody hears about this exploding baby boomer, you know, population and demographic for business. That's why I think what you're talking about is so apropos. It's kind of like we keep hearing about the baby boomer is the biggest generation in terms of controlling the economy, and yet none of us are actually targeting them. We might pretend to, but I don't think we really are. So it's exactly what you're saying. It's all about the biggest loser contest, you know, which is going to attract your 20 and 30 somethings, maybe your 40 somethings. And it's all about, you know, ripped abs and, you know, butt and thighs and Kardashian booty workout or something, you know? So this is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. You nailed it 100% right on the nose there. It's because they don't, you're not thinking of it, people aren't thinking of it in the right way. It is how you're marketing your business, and people aren't. They're telling themselves, like you just said, they're telling themselves the target, the boomers, but they're really not. I mean, unless you're focusing on, here's some examples. When you're talking to a baby boomer, you want to focus on life stages, not ads, like we've already said. Like life stage, what stage of their life are they at? And what's huge among boomer consumers is common interests and communities. They're huge on that. Here's an example. I've enjoyed U2 and Springsteen for about 30 years or more, okay? And that's not changing. I'm not going to age out of that interest. So once you find their interest and where the boomers hang out, you're going to find that they are parts of communities. They tend to read a lot about reviews for businesses. They will read, and this goes directly to the marketing and the business stuff you're talking about, they will read long-form sales letters. They will read long-form web pages, things like that about your advertising, whereas a younger consumer won't. You have their attention for about 10 seconds, and then they moved on. A boomer is inclined to read their mail. They will read your message. What does that mean? You need to have a story. The story I just told about my conversion, if you will, my wake-up call at 50, that's my core story. And people, when they hear that, they know that I get it. So what is your core story? Why do you feel you are able to connect with the boomer market? You got to have that core story. You need to have understand what their common interests are, what communities they belong to. That's who you're going to advertise. That's the groups you want to speak in front of, things like that. And you're talking, again, it's about life stages because they're starting a family. Maybe they have kids in college. There's all kinds of things that they're doing. They're maybe thinking about retirement, but not yet. Did they switch in jobs? Are they buying a second house? What's going on? It's a whole different mindset that people are kind of living, like you said, giving lip service to, but not really focusing on. And the people who really focus on it are going to be ones who are going to dominate this market, because once they get established as, hey, this is the place you want to go. For if you're over 50, this is the place to be. If you get that reputation, you are, you're printing money, really. And you're doing a good thing. It's okay to do good and do well.
Yeah. Are you finding, too, that the educational resources are starting to catch up with the demand? In other words, I know there's certifications out there. Are there any things that you recommend, or is there any programs that you're teaching in particular that help, a fitness professional be able to get on board?
I do. I approach it, like I said, I want to help the boomers themselves, and I want to help the trainers who are training boomers. So, I do. I have a marketing product that helps people like who are 20, 30, looking to grow their business, even 40, how to speak to boomers more accurately. And, Georgette, I think I sent you along the link to that product. And I'm not getting all salesy, but it's very, very important that, and I have two aspects to it, all right? One, to help the help trainers say and do the right things to get in front of this population and how to do it right. And number two, how to take a baby boomer who walks in your door, put them through a specific evaluation with the right sales script, showing them that you're the authority. A lot of what I do for trainers is to help position them as an authority in their market, because for two reasons. Number one, you're top of mind thinking. So people automatically think of joining a fitness center, they want to think of you. But number two is because boomers respect authority. We have a much higher regard for authority and authority figures than people a little younger might. And when you're positioned as authority, they will seek you out. I mean, when I was in my facility, I was the guy. They had a nutrition question, they came to me. They had a programming question, they came to me. I was the position of authority. I made sure I spoke all the time at the Rotary Club, at the Senior Center, and I'm writing a column for the fitness column for the newspaper, the local small paper. That type of thing adds to your credibility. See, I put that all together into kind of a marketing tool that helps trainers grow their business that way.
That's fantastic. That's a helpful tool. I want it.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, it's been working really well. It's been received well because nobody is out there putting together, you know, Facebook ads or email advertising or even the direct mail. Like I said, boomers are going to read their mail. They actually look forward to getting their mail. And sales funnels where you're, you know, looking at who's reading newspapers now? Clients over 50. You know, so I deal a lot with freestanding inserts in the paper and how to write those correctly. And so you get boomers calling you in response to that. In fact, when I was testing my sales copy in my local paper, I took the expense, I made sure this stuff works well, and I put it in the paper, and I still, even though I don't have a facility anymore, and I still get phone calls from people saying, hey, Art, I'd love to work with you, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't really have a facility anymore, I sold that, but, you know, I refer them to obviously colleagues in the area. But it works. People will read the newspaper, they will read the mail, and a lot of times younger marketers, business owners don't get that. So that's what I put together. It's called the Ultimate Client Attraction Training and Marketing Tool. I know it's kind of a long name, but it encompasses training with the Boomer Decathlon and the marketing piece that you need to get them in the door. So I included both in there, and it's, I tell you, it's working very well because, like I said, nobody's really doing that right now.
I have a discount. You gave me a discount code, too, right, for our listeners?
I did. You know, you have the link, and when you go to that page, it's BB50, Boomer Blueprint 50 for $50 off, just for the, you know, the folks who are listening here today.
Yeah, I'll meet the podcast when I just so they don't have to be scrambling for pens and papers. I'll have that all underneath the podcast for them. So that'll be good.
That's great. Yeah, I believe in kind of over delivering. I mean, I'm happy to, you know, give some email support, answer questions and things like that, because I actually have started, these people who are really diving into it, I have started a coaching group for them as well. So I have that. People can ask me about that. It's very small. It's those people who kind of really want to focus on the boomer market, and I help them grow the business only with that market. So that's something else that they can follow up with me about if they really want to get into it and dive in deep into this topic.
Yeah, because,
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. You ask first. I'm next.
Well, I had another question. I kind of get a chance to talk to a lot of the types of people that are listening to this podcast, and there's quite a few people out there that are newer. They may not be new to training, but they're newer to having their own business. And mm-hmm. So they may have been training for somebody else for a long time, and you know, there's a lot that goes with that, right? There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of mixed messages, and they may be concerned about, okay, well, what if I would love to tap into this boomer market, but I've already, you know, I kind of have a branding or marketing message, and it, you know, I've established it, or I've spent a lot of time on it, and it doesn't really appeal to boomers. So, but what if they still want to do it and they know they can? You mentioned before the idea of, you know, having that, you know, having at least either targeting completely your entire business around it, or having a, you know, boomer specific time slot or a boomer specific component
program
to your business. Or a program. What advice could you give, you know, maybe a new business owner who's like trying to figure out how to fit it in? Can it be fit in if they're not boomer only? For example, they also they do a general, you know, a weight loss boot camp, or, you know, they're just general right now in terms of their target market, or they might even have youth athletics in there. Is there a way to, could you talk a little bit more about how to add that component in without, and make
absolutely
it work for a business owner?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I completely identify that the fear of the regular business owner, the standard business owner out there, is that if I start marketing to boomers, I'm going to lose my other core population, which is my, you know, they might be 30 to 45, and they're going, well, you know, I'm not a boomer. Well, is this place for me anymore? And it really doesn't work out that way, because it's just like any, if you look at commercial gyms, they certainly have programs that are designed for Roomba, you know, a Zumba or whatever it is, right? They have specific programs that they market. They have Group X, they have personal training, they have general membership. They have, you know, they have all these different programs, and one is not exclusive of the other. So you have to get past the fear that you're suddenly going to alienate your other core population. You won't. Just, you have to market it as a standalone thing that is another option for people to. It's almost like an upsell. You can use position it that way or however you want. That this is for boomers only. It doesn't impact the other programming at all. The problem I see I've seen many times with marketing that program, is that people will do, and this goes across the board for marketing errors, they'll do one-off marketing. You know, I actually had a coaching client say to me, yeah, well, you know, I tried Facebook, it doesn't work. Well, I'm pretty sure Facebook works, you know. I'm pretty convinced that it works and it's going to be around a while. Or they said, I mailed a postcard and it didn't work. I said, well, did you follow up with it? Did you do another postcard? I mean, how are you positioning yourself? You can't do one-off marketing. It doesn't work. It's a waste of your money. And I agree. You probably won't get much from it because they didn't hear from you again. At any given time, a very small percentage of the population is ready to buy that day. You know, if you surveyed 100 people, you'd find about 3 people who are physically ready to sign a contract or buy a car on that day. They're ready. They've done their research. They're ready to go. So if you just do one-off marketing, you got that 3%. Okay,
right.
Then what happened? Then you didn't follow up next month, and so you missed that other 3%. And then the 3%, it's cumulative. It's a cumulative effort that people need to understand. So that's the other mistake,
right,
Jesse, that I see people making in Georgette, is that they just don't, they're not consistent with their marketing. And you need, once you establish your method, your approach, and your target audience, you stay with it. You know, and then you'll see some success. It takes a while for you to position yourself as that authority, as that top of mind location.
Well, I have a question, and I'm not sure if it. Well, I'm going to ask it anyway. can this be a problem? Let me word it that way. Or is this something? Well, let me ask the question first. If you have you know, a lot of 45 to 55 and up in your boot camp already. You're a boot camp trainer.
Yep.
Okay, so now you're already there. They're already there, and they're handling that boot camp with the regular progressions or regressions, whatever you have to do as a trainer normally.
Right.
So now you want to introduce something that's geared towards boomers. Now, I did see this very early on, and this, I'm talking 10 years ago. So the people who are in already there and they're handling the boot camp, well, that's fine. But does the label or the name of the program, is it important? In other words, some of the boomers that would be considered boomers that were in my regular boot camp did not want to go into a senior boot camp because they didn't consider themselves senior, or they didn't, you
right.
know, they weren't there. Like, in other words, I could do the regular boot camp.
Right.
You know, that kind
and
of
I have,
so can you
yeah.
address that a little bit?
Yeah, I exactly see what you mean. I had the same situation where, I mean, my boomer program was not always there. It was something new that I introduced specifically when I turned 50, and I just saw kind of that gaping hole in the market that what they weren't. I strongly believe boomers are grossly underserved with programming options. So what I did was you have to be careful with how you name it to answer your question. You cannot call it a senior program because a lot of boomers, it's like, don't you dare, like I'm 53, don't you dare call me a senior. I am gone, you know, older client or, you know, what do you want? Boomers, a lot of baby boomers don't like the term baby boomers, but just call them what they are. It's our over 50 program, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I can identify that. I'm over 50. So it is that might be something to consider. And what I did was we had plenty of people, like you said, who were already doing our boot camp, and they were 60.
Right.
And you can, for them, you can say, hey, if you just want to, why don't you try the boomer decathlon? Because maybe this person wants to add small group training to their boot camp membership. If you do that, if you don't, you should. You know, I mean, you got to have some other options for them besides boot camps. You can't have that single revenue stream. I'm sure, you know, people are aware of that. But if you want to have small group training available to them, you target specifically the people who are already in your boot camp saying, hey, a free assessment just to see where you're at. You know, let's try it. You don't have to do anything after that. You know, you can hop right back in the boot camp again if that's the thing. Some people are in that mode and they don't want to change, and that's
right.
fine. But you can offer them a free assessment and then go, oh, cool. Because the boomer, you know, let's face it, a boot camp is a fairly generalized approach. It is not a ton of individualization, certainly not like you can get in small group training or one-on-one. And that's why it exists. It's a different type of service. So if you, but you can interest new and existing clients over 50 into doing your assessment and saying, hey, you know what? The boot camp really doesn't address that, you know, that shoulder surgery I had 10 years ago, and it still gives me a little trouble. It's weaker than the other arm. You know, I can probably get that addressed in some small group training sessions. And what I would often do is say, listen, I don't think, if I had a new client, I would say, I don't think you're ready to hop into the boot camp yet. You know, some of these people over 50 have been doing this boot camp that you see going on right now have been doing it for 6 months or 8 months or a year. So they are there. You know, you're not quite there. What I would like to do is to have 6 to 8 weeks of small group training to prepare you to transition to maybe a full boot camp. But there's certainly, when they show up at your door, they're not ready for it. But if you call it, you know, this is our specifically for our clients over 50. It's our assessment because we realize you have unique needs. I wouldn't try to get too cutesy with the name, and certainly stay away from terminology that the boomers would consider derogatory, like mature and senior and, you know, anything to do with elder, that type of thing. But clients over 50 is strictly a chronological designation, and it doesn't have any negative notations to it.
So if they're already handling the boot camp and they're already in it for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and they're already handling it, that actually is not the majority anyway, right? So that would be considered the minority of the, quote, boomer population.
Right.
Would that be correct? Because...
Yeah. I had clients like that. I think we all have. And they were in boot camps, like I said, a couple of years.
70. But, I had them in for 9 years.
Yeah. And it's great that they can handle that. But does that serve every single possible need for that individual? Probably not. You know, this person has unique, like we've been saying here, this person has unique needs. And saying, listen, you know, Susie, I'd love to be able to just issue a free evaluation. Can you carve out an hour of your time? I just want to see where you're at and make sure we're heading in the right direction. And you put them through an assessment. And you can, and maybe they pass with flying colors, and they're not going to transition, but they appreciate, they will, if nothing else, you've done great customer service, and you're going to continue to retain that client because they see that you get it and you are concerned about their situation. You want to make sure you're tailoring, you know, all your services to their needs. And they're like, hey, that's cool. That's great. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a small group training client out of it. But I had a lot of people who said, you know what? I really want to lift some more weight, do some pure weightlifting rather than just a kind of an interval-based workout. I'd like to do maybe 6 weeks of strength training to get my, you know, my legs and back stronger or something like that. And so, hey, that's an extra, you know, X amount of dollars, they're happy, you're happy, you're helping them the way we should as trainers and professionals help them with their specific needs. So there's a lot to that.
Is geared towards marketing and trying to get in the other, the majority of the boomers who are not in your boot camp, who are not doing anything, who used to be athletes or whatever their case may be. You're really kind of, you're not trying to take your existing boot campers and make them into another program. The main point of your boomer blueprint, right, or your point, is to try and target those people who aren't doing anything, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
the point.
Right. A lot of those people, you know, let's face it, within the boomer market, there's a lot of people who don't want to do anything. They're not interested in doing anything. They're never going to be your client, so you don't need to bang your head against the wall trying to get them in the facility. But a lot of them, as you know, are saying, you know, I got to do something now. Now is the time. They're making decisions now.
They're overweight. They're grossly overweight.
Right.
They're getting fatigued. They're getting joint problems. They're getting this. They're getting that. So they're who you're targeting to a new program. If somebody's already capable and they're already in there, that's just like a trainer over 55, you know, you can't go by you. Judge by you. There's some trainers over 55 that are in an awesome shape. And really, you know, they would probably look at a program over 50 and go, not for me. Well, probably not.
Right.
But there's the majority of the people, that's who you're targeting, the majority of the people. I'm thinking of my sister, even, for that matter. But, like, somebody who really wants to do something, but, you know, maybe procrastinate. Nothing, you know, boot camp's too hard. You know, or too much. You know, that's the person. And there's a lot more of them than there are of the, you know, the 60-year-old that's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know. This is a shocking amount of people who just need that nudge, who need a position, the person that they can respect, who has authority we've been talking about, and who understands them. And that's what my product is about, is helping trainers who are 35. The average trainer, the avatar of a trainer I've been using here, the younger, they're not boomers. But they want to train that population. They want to help that population. And how to do it right, how not to alienate them, where to find them, how to reach out to them, and just give them that nudge. They need to come into your place.
Yeah, and that actually could be any trainer, because I mean, I was the same way at age 50. I wasn't thinking like my client. I was thinking like me.
Right.
You know, I'm training for a bodybuilding show at 49.
Exactly.
My head is... Right.
Yeah. Someone like me, I had to be really careful of my own mentality, because I was saying, I could still deadlift 400 pounds for reps. I mean, I could, you know, but no, I don't know anybody my age who can. You know what I mean? But that's, guess what? So I can't talk to them like that. I can't say, oh, listen, we can put 20 pounds of muscle on you. That's not what they want, you know? And I had to curtail my athlete mentality to someone who's been maybe sedentary for 20 years, or maybe they just had a medical scare. I mean, maybe I had to change all my mentality around, and I got a little help from my incident in the lake, because they go, whoa, all right, now I get it. This is how I need to talk to them.
Right, that's what, you know, there's a growing popularity of body weight workouts and yoga and, you know, okay, there, that's all great. And, you know, but you're targeting even educating the fitness professional on how to help this age, the majority of this age client, all the more. Plus, you're helping with the marketing of that. So that's where you're coming from?
Yes. Yeah. So, again, to help trainers, it's okay to be successful financially and do the right thing and to help this population. It's okay to do good and do well. I keep telling that to people because, they think, well, but a lot of times these people do need to find their own story. They need to find, why is it you want to help people over 50? If you say, well, just this is a lot of them, I want to make more money. You know, how about digging a little bit deeper? I mean, I'm sure you have friends, family, parents, somebody who is challenged some way by aging, and you want them to age with high quality. And
right.
So find your story and let people know that you care about them. You know, the expression that people don't know, you know, don't care what you know until they know how much you care. You know, you need to prove that with this population, because they take those things into consideration with their decision making.
Right.
Art, this has been really great. Let's finish with some fun stuff with just a couple minutes we have left. Do you have I love to find out, you know, when we have somebody interviewed here, just a few questions that are, you know, kind of different and fun. Do you have a favorite book or books you're reading right now or something that you would recommend?
I do. It's funny, because I'm always reading something. I tell you right now, one of the books that kind of opened my eyes to lifestyle decisions and kind of changing how I view things. Now, he's to some people, he's a little out there. But, you know, I really enjoy Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek. I mean, that really was an eye-opener for me. Right now, I do tend to read a lot more, marketing and nonfiction than I really should. I need to work some fiction in there. But I read a lot of, one book I would recommend is The Great Cholesterol Myth by Johnny Bowden and Sinatra. Is a great one. I love all of Dan Kennedy's materials. I really enjoyed the great book, Mastering the Rockefeller Habits. For those people who have a lot of time management issues, Managing the Rockefeller Habits by Bernd Harnisch is an excellent book to kind of help you on that path. So those are a few of things, but I'll tell you, two of the magazines that I really enjoy every month, and I wouldn't have figured this, but for business purposes, developing your business, it's the National Speakers Association Speaker Magazine is probably page for page, dollar for dollar, the best value of any kind of business type thing. If you're interested in doing that, any, you know, developing your authority position in speaking and other products and things like that, Speaker Magazine is phenomenal. I really cannot get enough of the resources. I know it's unusual. You wouldn't have thought that, but that's $49 a year. I get more material out of that. That comes to the CD every month. They're interviewing sales. They're interviewing executive experts, and it's really dollar for dollar the best value out there. And I always like Success Magazine. I like to feed my brain with all the positive stuff, you know, and Success Magazine is also part of that.
That's great. Awesome. How about movies? Any favorite movie? Do you actually take time to have fun with that or too busy for them?
I do. I mean, I'm kind of the guy around the house here with the movie quotes. I'm that guy, and I love my favorite two favorite movies of all time are Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. It's a really great morality tale if you read into it, what's really going on there. And just because of my background in Highland Games, I talk about a lot, is Braveheart with Mel Gibson. Two Academy Award-winning movies, I know, but there's so many good quotes in there that I use around the house all the time that there's too many to list, you know? Like, my wife will say, hey, where are you going? Well, I'm going to pick a fight, you know? And it's just great stuff.
I can imagine you with blue paint all over your face and a spear or doing Highland Games. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a couple for you.
That's fantastic. Yes, and any last thoughts or any things that you'd like to finish our interview with here?
I would like to tell people to never stop learning. I know it sounds cliche, but what you're going to find is if you learn a little bit more than you're used to, learn how to master Facebook advertising, you're not going to be any whack for new leads, but it's fun. I mean, always challenge your brain with some of the new technology that's out there and use the resources you already have. And I kind of never stop. I always want to learn something new, whether it's Infusionsoft or Facebook advertising or, ClickFunnels. I just like learning new kind of software. Some of it's very, very challenging. And if you do that, if you become that person, combine your marketing towards boomers with the right technology, you'll be full. You'll be happy. You can control your own lifestyle and dictate a lot more than rather being trading your time for money is a huge mistake trainers do. You get stuck doing that, and it's a problem. And you can dictate your lifestyle much more than you thought you could by mastering your marketing, mastering learning, and mastering the technologies available out there.
You made me remember a question that I forgot to ask. I'm sorry. Do you have any, can you give us some examples of your favorite pieces of technology or a tech tip or maybe an efficiency tool that you use or specific things that you like in your business?
I do. I have found a couple of things that have helped me a lot here. Is number one, for technology, I keep it fairly simple. I use Google Calendar in extensively. I mean, my life is kind of dictated with Google Calendar alerts all the time, so I know exactly what I'm doing and when. And what I also do is I script my day. People have probably heard that before. But the night before, I go into Google Calendar, and I have a handwritten, old-school handwritten to-do list. And I schedule my day out so I know, you know, I have this podcast from here to here. I have this training on Infusionsoft from here to here. I have this follow-up phone call with coaching clients here to here. And if you're not filling your day like that, then you find yourself spinning your wheels or doing just busy work that accomplishes nothing. I evaluate, you know, how am I improving myself? How am I making a better experience for my customers? You know, meaning, so if I'm a business owner, you know, I need to make sure that I'm learning. Here's a tip that I teach, actually, a UMass Lowell system. I teach physical therapy students how to write training programs. And one of the first things I tell them is every week you want to read one personal development article, one industry-related article, so something about your craft, what you do, a training article, all right, like that, and then one business-related article. I think everyone needs to learn business and how to do it. So keeping with that little standard, those tips to keep my day efficient and make the best use of my time And so then I can relax when it's time to relax, you know, have some downtime. You've got to have relaxation time and schedule regular vacation to recharge the battery. So that scripting of the day has been very helpful to me to accomplish quite a bit, which I like to think I use my time very well.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Art. Georgette, do you have any last questions or anything else for Art?
No last questions. Just thank you for being on, and thank you for offering our listeners and subscribers a discount and some more insight into this program.
Great. I really enjoyed it. Anytime I can help trainers grow their business, it's a great thing, and doing it with the right audience. Thank you very much for having me on today.
I'll send
you
a link.
Yes, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
All right. I'll love to, anything I can do as a follow-up, you just let me know, and I will definitely be in touch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Art. All right. Thank you, Art.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. We'll talk to you soon. Bye, Georgette.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.